ROCpodcasts.com.
Brutality.
Good day and welcome to this week's episode of Brutality with Fred Porter. I'm your host, Fred Porter. I do apologize, guys, for my absenteeism for the last couple weeks. I've been, as you can probably tell, I've been a little sick, feeling a little under the weather. Some things didn't work out the way we planned. That's life. So this week, we're getting beard on. I'm here with a very special guest, one of my favorite people in the entire world, my brother in beer, Ian Penders, attorney at law. How you doing, Ian?
Good. How are you, Porter?
I'm fucking awesome, man. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's always a blast to come to the old studio here.
The old studio. It's a rickety table with like garbage on it, bro. It's
cooler studio than I have.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair. Yeah, you know, it's like that. What's that Ferris Bueller says all the time? It's like, I don't even have a piece of shit. I have to envy your piece of shit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. I apologize for the swearing right off the bat, guys. This is going to be a little raunchy show. I'm very comfortable with Ian Penders. This week, we've got some cool stuff to talk about. First up, as always, Mr. Penders always brings me some fabulous beers. And we're drinking some of these brews during the show. And if you want to give a rundown on what we're tasty sampling right now, that'd be great.
So what I brought today is, as you know, I'm a Sour and Goza fan.
You are.
So I brought Stillwater's Money Trees, which is a Goza style session IPA. Comes in right around 4.6%, and looks nice. It's a pretty beer.
It looks nice. It's It tastes good.
Yeah,
I mean I like it a lot. It's got that definitely that tart sour Goza flavor.
It's pretty light though. I'd say if maybe you're first getting into Gozas or sours, this would be a nice introduction because it kind of mixes the two styles, the session IPA and the Goza. It's not too sour, you know, not too salty. It's pretty nice.
No. No, very, very good. Very nice, well-balanced. You can definitely get that kind of hop flavor on the end of it, which is nice.
Stillwater always does a nice job.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Now, before we get into the meat and potatoes.
Sure.
Okay. You mentioned you're a sour guy. You like sours. You like Gozas.
Sure do.
You know, it's a subject we haven't broached on the show before, actually, is the sour market and the Gozas. I am also very quickly becoming a fan. My only complaint about them is they're so low in ABV. You got to drink like 10 gallons of beer to get a little buzz on, you know?
Yeah, it's not really a go out and get drunk kind of beer. And as we've learned from events before, it's tough to drink a lot of them. They kind of sit in your gut a weird way.
Yeah, give you that weird gut rot like you ate too many oranges.
Right. Yeah, a little acidic almost feeling in your stomach. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's sours and Gozas. I got into them really because the girl I'm dating, Rose, I was trying to find a craft beer that she could drink with me.
Right.
And she wouldn't touch IPAs or stouts or porters, so I introduced her to Anderson Valley's the Holy the Ghost, Kimmy the Goes, whatever it's called, the 128 series there, and she loved it. So we just started, and you know, I always liked them, so we just started drinking a ton of them. And it's kind of easy to be a sour fan around here these days, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the market's been exploding lately.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it's always easy to gift shop for you too, because I'm always like, you know, they don't get like slouchy layabout goes. Like you have to commit if you're gonna brew a sour or a goza, because it takes way too long.
Yeah, from what I understand, and I'm not big on process. I don't really, you know, I'm more of a drinker. So
right.
From what I understand, it is a more difficult process to brew.
Mm-hmm.
So not every brewery, not every small craft brewery is doing it, but a lot of them are coming on to it, it seems. And
yeah,
there's some great ones in the greater Rochester area.
Absolutely. And the ones that we do get here in bottle shops and stuff like that are the, you know, the unicorns. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You get Anderson Valley Briny Melon. You get, you know,
Westbrook. You get some nice gozes around here. Almanac's big around here with their sours. We got them in our market, and we've got some great options. Yeah. So, you know, Evil Twins coming out with some, and there's been plenty in distribution around here for us.
Definitely, and it's nice too that we get guys like Joe McBain over at Tap 'Em Out who are willing to like. Say, hey, all my tap lines are strictly sours today.
Oh, that was the best.
You know? So I mean, that's cool, man. So, like, definitely, if you're looking to get into beers, this is another route to go. If you're a wine drinker or you like ciders, I would say that this is more of like an easy stepping stone to drinking other stuff.
Absolutely, they're lighter. They're not gonna put you on your ass, and it's a way different flavor. It's a flavor people don't think they're going to get out of beer.
Right.
You know, that saltiness or that sour, and it's great.
Yeah.
Plus, and I think we'd be remiss in talking about sours here if we didn't give a shout out to our boy. Over at Prison City, I think.
Oh, Ben Maeso?
Is it okay to shout him out here?
I think so. I think we could say say old Ben Maeso's name. I hope I'm saying it right, Benjamin, because you know, I get lectured every time.
So just real quick, he's got that Prison City Brewery down in Auburn. He's the brewer there in Auburn, New York, and so he grew up in Puerto Rico, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
A lot of his flavors are inspired by, you know, tropical fruits. He likes like passion fruit, things like that, and he makes a different sour every time I see him.
He sends it. Oh. He definitely sends it when he's getting there. You know, of the few that we've had, and I don't want to do a whole Prison City episode because he's going to be on the show soon, but. You know, they try to name all their beers after prison movies.
I guess
is another funny thing. So he's got the Cool Hand Cuke.
Oh, what a great beer!
Which is the is a cucumber sour, which is really nice. I'll tell you what though, it gets weird as it ages. It gets a pickle flavor.
Oh, interesting. So, it makes sense.
It makes sense, but it gets this weird like vinegary pickle flavor. I still love it, but it's off from when it's like real freshy nice. You know, we had the papaya last weekend or a couple weekends ago.
And he had a passion fruit.
Oh my God. And he does a killer apricot. So if you see any Prison City crawlers kicking around the Rochester area, pick them up, scoop them up, because you'll be pleasantly surprised, especially if you're into like we said, the sour deal, you know.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so I mean, this is a great beer. I'm thrilled. So thank you for being here, Ian.
Thanks for having me.
Now, here's something that a lot of people don't. Well, I shouldn't say don't know. I think everybody who knows you knows that you're an attorney. You're an attorney at law.
I happen to be an attorney.
You're an attorney at law, and I did want to take this opportunity because I did have a guest bail out on me this week. So thank you again for being a Band-Aid on a sore situation.
I like jumping in.
But I figured this would be a great opportunity, especially with St. Paddy's Day coming around the corner. You know, I've always found it a struggle for me ever since I started drinking craft beer exclusively to restrain myself, so to speak, on St. Patrick's Day and stay safe. And the part that I do want to stress is we're always talking about how this is a beer community. This is a craft beer community. And you want to take care of your community.
Of right? course.
You know? And you don't want to be making dipshit moves and driving drunk.
Yeah.
Because there are consequences, my friend.
There are several consequences.
And I thought it would be kind of cute, kind of funny to have a DWI attorney on the show. And maybe talk some horror stories, maybe talk some personal experiences with the police and why you should never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, drive drunk. It's, you know, it's one thing, you know, you're a man, you get your car home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But not at the expense of other people. And we want to kind of talk about that. We keep it fun, keep it light, but keep everybody informed.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a criminal defense attorney first, and I practice mostly DWI defense. And the issue in New York State is it's just not worth it anymore to drive after you've drank. It just really isn't. The consequences are so severe. And I want to make one thing clear is, as a defense attorney, I don't think you should be drinking and driving. I'm obviously still against drinking and driving, but there are things you should know to protect yourself. If you don't want to get a DWI, don't drive. It's pretty simple. But
it's a very simple strategy.
So in New York State, it gets worse every year as far as the penalties for drunk driving, and reasonably so. We don't want people drinking and driving. It's terrible for the roads. It's terrible for the community. The penalties range all over the place, depending on what kind of DWI you get. But one thing is for certain, you're looking at a ton of money spent. Right. Legal fees, fines, surcharges, DMV fees, they're coming for you. Right. They're coming for your pockets. That's where it hits us the hardest. And listen, I get it. We live in a pretty rural area here in Western New York, and we don't have a ton of public transportation. We don't have a ton of cabs. We don't live where we could just walk home all the time.
Right.
So it is tough to go to these beer events and drink and have a good time, and then you got to figure out what you're doing with your car. But you should just figure that out before you go to these events.
Exactly. Get a driver. Or, you know, plan on staying in a hotel, mm-hmm. you know, or something along those lines where, you know, shit, you can leave your car in a parking lot and you know, get a ride up to the Econo Lodge or, you know, walk up to the Hyatt or,
right.
you know, take a taxi downtown and get in the Riverside or whatever you're gonna do, you know?
Sure. And it's just important to remember. I mean, too, with craft beer, a lot of people forget we're used to drinking Blue Light and Coors Light. You could drink 5, 6, 7 of these and feel totally fine. It's not the deal anymore with these craft beers. Right. I mean, this beer we're drinking is just under 5%, but most of the time we're drinking an IPA at 7, 8, 9%. You have a few of those, and you're already in a bad spot where you shouldn't be driving.
Right.
No matter how good you feel, it's such a low standard these days to get pulled over and get popped for a DWI.
And not for nothing. They're looking for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a reason cops are just driving around in the middle of the night, and that's, you know, so they can pull you over and charge you with some crimes. And I don't want to sound anti-police. I know, Ian, you probably don't want to sound anti-police on a public forum.
Of course. my opinions.
But. You know, yeah, I mean, we all do. But, you know, the main thing that, through personal experience, that you have to realize is they're not there to help you, okay? They're not there to protect you. You're the one breaking the law. They're there to take you down. They're Batman, you know? They don't care if, you know.
Right. A lot of these police stations, I mean, let's face it. We live in small towns. A lot of us live in small towns. Mm-hmm. The revenue from DWI arrests is huge.
Right.
It's an integral part of these municipalities' budgets. It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. So they're, you know, after midnight, they're looking for anything, a pop tail light, a minor swerve, going five over, anything like that. They're gonna take you down and
loud muffler, you know,
and all it takes is a little bit of honesty after that. Tell them that you had a few beers and you're probably spending the night in jail.
Yeah. Now that's the big thing. You brought that up because that's the big thing that people don't realize. And I want to spotlight it a bit. If heaven forbid you do get pulled over, okay, if you're being a jerk, you deserve to get pulled over. But if you get pulled over and the cop says, "You've been drinking tonight?" The only acceptable answer is no.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I don't want this to be construed as legal advice, as I'm not permitted to give out legal advice in this kind of forum, but if you get pulled over and you've been drinking, I just don't know why you'd tell the officer that you have.
Right.
Most of my clients I see come in, and the first thing they say to me is, yeah, I was honest with the cop, and look where it landed them, in my office,
exactly.
You know? So it's a shame. I don't want to, you know, tell people that they should be lying to cops, but when you tell a cop that you've had a few drinks, their DWI investigation just started.
Right.
So it's only downhill from there, and you just got to be careful. I'm not saying go have a bunch of beers and then drive and lie to cops, but that's what I'm saying. in a way, you know, I don't want you out driving, drinking and driving, but that's the truth of the matter. It's you know, you want to be respectful, you want to be polite, but no one who is honest with a cop anymore is getting a ride home. It's just the exception of the rule these days.
It's not those good old days. You know, I sit down, so, you know, I go to happy hour at the old watering hole downstairs, and I will, you know, listen to these older dudes, these dudes in their 50s and 60s who are like, yeah, I got pulled over a few times when I was a kid, but you know, they just, you know, they threw me in the back, drove me home. My dad gave me the what for. You know, like, it's like, yeah, they don't do that no more, man. They take you down, they lock you up, and
There are judges I've heard say, listen, I used to drink and drive, but it's 2016, and we can't do it anymore. Most people think, oh, you know, they have a limit for themselves. I drink three, and then I could drive, or anything more than four, and I call a cab. Really, the standard is lower than that. Right. Unfortunately, it really is. Right. I've seen people, honest people, popped after two drinks, and you blow a .09. It's still a DWI, you know, no matter how close it is to the limit, it's still a DWI. And, you know, blowing and not blowing, refusing, that's a whole other story we could talk about if we need to. But if you do blow and it's above the legal limit, that's a DWI. And there's just no way to know what you're going to blow.
I mean, it can still be a DUAI.
A DWAI is anything, you know, from a .04 to a .07, but I don't get a lot of those cases. You know, most of the time I get a DWI. It's rare when someone blows a .06, .07 that the cop will still book them, but that's not to say it's never happened. I've had those cases too.
Right. Yeah, and you know, I don't know. I think I might be a rare specimen here. I have never been convicted or arrested for DWI.
Well, congratulations, Porter.
Thank you. You know, not saying that it shouldn't have happened on many occasions, you know, but, and I'm not proud of that.
Sure.
That, you know, I got away with it so many times. I'm just saying, you know, I've never felt that bee sting. You know, I haven't had to lay in that bed of nails yet or, you know.
Right. And that's kind of the issue, right, is a prosecutor and a judge is going to say just that. Listen, you got popped for a DWI last night, but let's be honest. It probably wasn't your first time driving drunk.
Right.
You've probably done it several other times and not got caught, and that's kind of the basis for them not being lenient.
Not to give you leniency.
Sure.
Well, that, and you see, you know, I mean, I was at a very young age, and I don't mean to, you know, I was the victim of a drunk driver.
Oh, yes, you were. I understand
that. You know, very, very good friends of the family were killed by a drunk driver driving a tractor trailer truck. You know, killed two kids under the age of 10. You know, crippled the mother, you know, messed up two of the other kids, you know, destroyed the family, you know, and it's a hard thing to live with, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's tough to be like, all right, I'm an adult now, I want to party, I want to have a good time, but that is always in the back of your head.
Right.
You know, like, oh, shit, well, what if, you know, I don't know how I could live with myself if I pulled some crap like that. You know, so which is why I moved above and across the street from the bars I drink at.
That's the way to do it. It's if you're gonna be a drinker and you can't be responsible like that, then take the necessary steps. Right. You know, you gotta walk, and that's just what you have to do. Lawyer fees these days are so much money. You know, it's because it's costly. It's not an easy process. I don't just walk into court and we do a plea and we're, hey, see you later. There's a lot of work that goes into these cases.
Lots of paperwork.
And and every case is different, and it's tough. You want to give the clients their best shot at the best possible outcome. It's going to cost them money, and not just money to me, money to the DMV, money to the state, money to the courts.
Oh, I know it. I probably shouldn't say. Someone I know has gotten three DWIs. Now he's never served any jail time, or they've all been pretty much expunged. Cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Sure.
To stay out of jail and not lose his license and not, have that on his record, even. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, And to, people like you and me, that's not chump change. You know what I mean?
No, it's not. And I want to be clear, in New York, unless you're under the age of 19, your record's not getting expunged. Your record's not getting sealed. It's a criminal record, which has a ton of ramifications. I don't care how much money you have. This affects your college application, your job application, the job you currently hold.
Right.
A criminal record is no good in New York State.
Exactly.
With the way the job market is today, why would we take someone with a criminal record? We could take someone with a clean record.
Right.
That's how these employers are thinking.
Exactly.
It's the truth. You can't just buy your way out of these anymore.
Right. So, that's it's a tough lesson, but so unfortunately some of us have to learn it. And and I've been there for friends who've gone through this shit. They have to get rides everywhere all the time, and it's a pain in the ass because Jesus Christ, can you at least give me some gas money? You know what I mean? But, on the other hand, they've never done it. A lot of the people I know have gotten DWIs, never done it again.
Right.
Never, ever, ever.
Because it's a major pain. Because
they get the hammer dropped on them.
Yeah.
And that's what's you know? A good friend of mine, it was her 21st birthday. She got a DWI in Syracuse.
Oh.
And she, it could have jeopardized her entire career. She was going to work for social work or going to school for social work.
Unbelievable.
Thank God her parents were wealthy.
Right.
And got a good lawyer and got it reduced and all that business. But, she's never driven and drank again.
Right. And that's what they're trying to do. That's the goal is for those who do offend. We hope that the state hopes that we don't offend again. They don't do this again. So the penalties are hefty, even from the start. It's not a slap on the wrist for your first one. It's you face the music on the first one now, and I guess that's how it should be. On a first DWI now, if you have a DWI, you must install that ignition interlock device on your car, the breathalyzer, if you will, to start your vehicle. That's on any case, any DWI case, first offense, 12 months of that.
Right. I didn't know this, and I just learned this a couple weeks ago, was that it's not that, you blow into it and then you're drunk, your car just doesn't start.
Right.
It records that, and then it's all like, oh, well, you intended to drive drunk.
Yes.
Here's another whack on that. Now you got to have this thing longer.
Yep.
And there's a note in your record now that, you know.
Depending on the judge, it could be even worse than that. There's a judge in Rochester who will throw you in jail for 7 days for violating that ignition interlock device. It depends on your judge. It depends on if you're on probation. But, it gets recorded, and it gets sent to your probation officer. It gets sent to the court that you were sentenced out of. And they know that, hey, this guy got a DWI, and then he got in his car 2 months later and tried to drive with alcohol in his system again. And that's an issue.
Right.
Because obviously this guy's not learning.
Not learning a lesson.
Right. So, there's hefty penalties on the back end there, too.
Now, to wrap up this first portion of the show, I did read recently an article, I believe it was Georgia. The Georgia State Court, Supreme Court, deemed it unconstitutional to do roadside sobriety checks.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court had a ruling about the roadside sobriety, you know, the breathalyzer, right, if you will. So the argument was that in order to get that kind of evidence during your DWI, they should have a warrant. Apparently the court went along with it. And for now, until it's challenged there, those breathalyzers are going to be unconstitutional. It's going to change things for a lot of DWI defendants. But I don't see that line of thinking sticking.
No, I don't think it's going to go national or anything like that. But it was kind of neat to see that it's like, oh, well, is it then?
Right.
You know, it's like, does it fall under illegal search and seizure?
Sure.
Because they're technically taking your DNA. They're taking your
blood.
Your blood. I'm thankful that I don't have the lung capacity anymore to blow into a breathalyzer. I have a medical note on my license.
Good. You should be refusing then, as most of you should.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the other thing, though, too, is like I have a Class E driver's license, mm-hmm. which means that my legal limit is only 0.04.
Okay.
Much like if you have a Class A or a CDL, there's zero tolerance. If you're pulled over, regardless of in your work vehicle or not, and you get breathalyzed and they determine you have any amount of alcohol in your system whatsoever, you could blow a 0.01 or 0.001. You're going to.
Yeah, it's similar to guys with CDLs. The limit goes down when you have a more important license, as it should. If you're shipping, you know, hazardous waste at 2 tons a truck,
right,
we don't want you drinking and driving. You know, if you're driving a school bus full of children, you probably shouldn't have any alcohol in your breath.
Right.
It shouldn't be, I had a glass of wine at lunch, I'm fine. Well, sorry, bus driver, you're not. And there's very hefty penalties there.
Yeah,
you're looking at least a year without that CDL, and
plus,
usually means your job.
Yeah, exactly. And the bus driver thing's interesting, too, because they can tack on all sorts of fun stuff to that.
Reckless
endangerment of a child, times however many children you have in the vehicle.
It could get bad real quick.
You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we do need to take a break real quick. We're chatting with Ian Penders, attorney at law. I like how you just, like, you don't like it when people say that, do you? Yeah. Ian Penders, attorney of law. Sorry, I've been watching too much Harvey Birdman lately, apparently.
That's okay.
And this is Brutality with Fred Porter. We'll be right back with you.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. P from Brutality asking you to go on over and check out rocpodcasts.com. That's right, rocpodcasts.com. It's a conglomeration of all the local talent in the Rochester area. You've got comedians like Vinny Paulino doing his show, The Rochester Show. You've got my other show, my way worse, awful, dirty show, The Lost Cosmonauts. You've got the guys over at undertheskin.tv doing their Monday Medicine show. You've got music shows like Chris Green's Straight from the Underground 2.0, nothing but straight up local Rochester hip hop, ladies and gentlemen. You've got comedy shows like The Mental Overload Show, and sports shows like The Sco Zone. If this sounds good to you, go on over and check us out at rocpodcast.com. It's for your health.
And we're back with Brutality. I'm Fred Porter, and I'm here with my good pal, brother in beer, Ian Penders.
How you doing, Porter?
Doing great. Been chit-chatting a little bit about DWIs and how you shouldn't do it. Some of the consequences. I figured we might lighten it up a little bit. I'm sorry. We had a beer mishap. So something kind of foamed up real fast on us, and I tried to as a man do, just kind of take care of the problem with my mouth.
We know you're used to that.
Take that for what it's worth. So I might be a little burpy. I might have a little gas. Well, we figured we'd lighten up the mood a little bit, talk some shenanigans, talk some funny things. I know you've got some hilarious, hilarious, hilarious stories to talk about as far as the type of people you see. And don't take this as Ian is not a professional by any means. These are just way out of the ordinary type of situations that, you know, you'd see them on the news or you'd hear about it elsewhere. You know, so watch out. That's going to foam.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I guess I wanted to start with, I had a roommate once, like 5-6 years ago, who had a problem. He was currently on probation for his DWI, and he would drink 6 beers at night before he went to bed, but at home, you see, so he couldn't get in trouble. And then one day he gets pulled over on the way to work, and he blew something ridiculous. I'm not even kidding you. He would come home, he'd drink a 6-pack of Tall Boy Blue Lights and go to bed.
Jeez.
Right? And, that's a lot of beer. But when I say he came home, he drank it, went to bed, I'm saying over like a 4-hour period, 4 or 5-hour period, okay?
Sure.
He's not just, you know, shotgunning him in the bathtub and then passing out. He drank 6 beers in a reasonable amount of time, and he gets pulled over and he blows a .26 or something like that. And he couldn't understand why. And there's some science behind that. And I might get a little sciencey here, but as your body metabolizes alcohol, your blood alcohol content obviously goes up. So if you've got, you go to bed, you got a .08, 6 hours later, that number is increased exponentially.
Yeah, it goes up. I mean, that's how it works. That's how we digest our alcohol. It's
right.
Your BAC is going to be different when you first start drinking than when, 6 hours later after you're done drinking.
Right.
Everyone handles their alcohol differently, but common sense math is it's going to go up. It's going to peak at some point.
Right.
And then it's going to come down.
Right.
What you don't want is for it to be at its peak when you decide you're going to head to work or take a Sunday drive.
Right, exactly. Now, you were mentioning during the break you had a lady.
So I had a client who his first day on the job was Monday morning for a new job, and she's on her way to work and gets pulled over and blows something ridiculous, like a 3-4. Jesus. Something that puts a normal person on the ground and to sleep, but she's probably a pro. She's been drinking for a while.
Seasoned alcoholic.
And it was probably hitting its peak right around the time she woke up. Most people think, oh, I slept it off, I'm fine. That's not how your body works, buddy. So,
no.
It's
there's a reason you feel like hell in the morning. It's because you're still drunk. Not the fun part of the drunk, the why you do that stupid part of the drunk.
Right. And your friends always joke, oh, I was probably still drunk when I drove this morning. No, you were still drunk when you drove this morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were drunk right up until noon when you got that hot dog at the cafeteria. Yeah, exactly. So I always find that strange, and the interesting aspects of how we do metabolize alcohol, and you know what, that's another part of staying safe, ladies and gentlemen, is understanding how alcohol affects you, not only physically, emotionally, and mentally, but how the science works.
Right.
Your liver turns the alcohol into sugars and blah blah blah. It's how you get pee tested. They test for specific enzymes and sugars, and not to say that you should learn more so you can skirt the law. You should learn more so you know how to act.
How to be an adult.
How to be an adult.
The drinking age is 21. I guess the theory behind that is by the time you're 21, you're supposed to know the effects of alcohol. You're supposed to know how it works. We know that's not the case. We're idiots in this country. Yeah. And by the time we turn 21, we're usually just beginning to understand how alcohol works.
It's got such a taboo on it that, heaven forbid you have a beer when you're 18 or when you're 12 or whatever. Don't judge my family. But yeah, no, it's there's a lot of really interesting stuff out there. You should educate yourself and figure out what
figure
to do.
It out before you start drinking and then driving even in the same day. It's right. It's a risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know I've mentioned I've never had a DWI. Have you been arrested for DWI?
I've never been arrested for DWI, no. And I like to chalk that up to me being responsible as I can. Right. You know, I have a career and obviously a reputation to protect. But even before that, it was pretty frowned upon. You can't drink and drive.
Right. So, you know. And I always had to, you know, I think you had probably similar parents to mine where they were always like, we'll come pick you up. If you can't drive, we'll come pick you up.
Right.
It's like, yeah, Mom, come pick me up at the bar in front of all my friends at 3 in the morning.
At the bar that you told me I shouldn't be at. And,
right, yeah.
Yeah, just what I want to do is call my mom. But, hey, if that offer's there, you should probably
always take it.
It's a verbal lashing from your mother is a lot cheaper than a DWI.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know if we've hammered that into our listeners enough.
Today. Yeah, I think we've really committed to safety here tonight.
safety comes first.
Always.
You know? And if my friends don't dance, then you know.
Speaking of safety, what are we drinking here today?
We're drinking this. It's a Clown Shoes coffee pecan pie porter that's acting very strangely. I don't like how you're acting, Mr. Beer. It's like foaming up all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know if I mishandled it, but I handled it the same way as the other beer, for it's a little old or what. But yeah. I will say, first few sips of what I've been able to try, pretty damn good. You get a really nice, rich coffee flavor on it. The pecan's barely there, but it's there. And it's just a nice, dark porter. Good beer to drink on a real cold night.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, we got 8.5% per volume, so this is quite a step up from what we were drinking previously. It's good. I wish it wasn't poop and foam everywhere.
Yeah, that's
this is really, really weird. Like I opened it and the cap almost took my eye out. So you know, what are you gonna do? I don't know why beers do that. There's a lot of reasons why they do that. Mishandling is one thing. If they're old and not, you know, is another thing. If they're infected, is generally a clear cut sign. If they're spraying foam all over the place, this doesn't taste off to me though. I'm not tasting.
No,
any
not
of
at
those
all. Not
weird.
That I've never had it before, but it doesn't taste like a beer I shouldn't be drinking. Right. It tastes great.
Tastes pretty good. Well, thanks for bringing it by. Knocking it out of the park once again, Mr. Penders.
I always come trying to bear gifts.
You do, which is incredible. And I feel sometimes remiss because, you know, every once in a while I'll bring in something nice. I heard you did actually end up trying that birthday suit.
I did, yeah. My girlfriend and I had it the other night. Was that Uinta's birthday suit? It's like a farmhouse style sour. It was awesome. Nice. Great beer. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. Perfect. So speaking of beers and things like that, now you have been a craft beer drinker in my town longer than I've known you, which seems strange to me because, I mean, I guess I really never branched out from across the street and to other places aside from the dankness that I'm used to down at the old watering hole. But, yeah, so, I mean, how did you, and I always like to ask these questions to people. I think people find it interesting. If you don't find it interesting, let me know. Yell at me on a Facebook page. Hit me up on Twitter, Brutality Podcast. You know, let me know if you don't like this type of stuff, or if you do have questions you want to answer, just shout out on the internet, and I'll answer them the best I can. But how did you get into the craft, as it were, the brotherhood of beers?
Well, we all start drinking crappy beer when we first start because we think that's all there is. You know, I always saw my dad drinking Silver Bullets and Jenny Cream Ale my whole life. So I thought, you know, that's the kind of beer you drink.
Right.
But even as a college student, you're like, there's got to be something better here. You know, we had a hierarchy of the crappy beers. You know, you had your Busch and your Keystone down low, and then you had your maybe your Blue Light or Miller Light up a little higher than that. Right. So we always kind of knew there's better flavor out there.
Right.
But what was really missing was just a nice beer that you had no problem sitting down and sipping, like a glass of wine, something you could just enjoy, yeah. Not pound back until you want to die. So my what really got me into it was drinking beers with different flavor, like Guinness or Blue Moon or Shock Top. I think a lot of people end up getting into more flavorful beers because of beers like Shock Top or Blue Moon, right. Because you finally get some flavor on your beer. It's tasty.
Yeah, you get some different other than that weird stale Cheerio flavor.
Right,
know?
And then you go from there. You know, oh, I like Guinness, and someone might say to me, well, if you like Guinness, why don't you try this Wooliver's, you know, right. Oatmeal stout? You might like that. And you kind of branch in slowly and end up realizing, wow, there's so many other beers out there. And I just got lucky where this craft beer explosion kind of came up the same time that I could begin drinking. You know, I'm 27 now, so this craft beer revolution has been taking place for, what, 5 years now, and it's getting bigger every year. So
easy.
It was easy to get into this. My favorite bar here in town just started serving a ton of craft beer, so yeah. I was able to. It was an easy transition, and
definitely.
And none of us could look back. I don't think you know you just can't go back after that.
Now don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. I will sit here and crush a 30 rack of bullshit while I'm playing cards with some buddies. You know what I mean? You know, usually though, now this might lend an ear to my alcoholism. If I'm not drinking craft beer, I'm usually drinking liquor. And you know, and not necessarily good liquor at that.
But if you gotta drink a crappy beer, what's your number one?
I go with Labatt's.
Yeah, Labatt's.
I drink
that's
blue,
always a
blue
solid
light.
Choice.
You know, if I want to be high class about my crap beer, I'll drink Heineken or Stella.
Sure.
I just got into a major argument with somebody about Heineken. Okay, you know, then they're like, oh, Heineken is crap. Why would you ever drink that? It's awful. You know, this and that, and it's not. If you get really fresh Heineken,
sure.
It's delicious.
Yeah, and it's always better on draft because you don't have the crappy, light-polluted bottles that they have.
Right, right. And especially if you get it overseas, it's amazing.
Oh,
you get it anywhere in Europe, it's amazing. You get these really weird floral and fruit notes in it that you don't get here because it's all, you know, it's all light polluted and
you're drinking it ice cold, and it ends up tasting the same as all the other crap.
Right, except it's got that skunk flavor to it, which is the hop profile, ladies and gentlemen. It's not skunked. Those are the hops they use, okay? it's like some people saying that 90 minutes is skunked beer.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just don't get it. You know, I know what a skunk beer tastes like. It's a blue light can that's been
in your trunk,
that's been in a cooler since Memorial Day, and you're finally getting into it on Labor Day.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a skunked beer, guys. Yeah. Okay, and I'm not I'm not innocent. Okay, I've drank that beer. I may have shotgunned that beer.
Might
you know,
be the only way to drink it.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, so, yeah, so, you know, you kind of got into it right from the get-go around here anyway when we started getting, you know, weird stuff into town. I remember I saw the first bottle of Hop Devil down at the bar that I usually drink at in the cooler, and I'm like, ooh, you have Victory. Victory, you say. And it's Hop Devil. I will have 9 of those, please. Right. You know.
It also helps, too, being an adult, you could afford a nicer six pack of beer, and you could understand that this six pack of, you know, whatever is going to be a much better experience than 18 Blue Lights, and right. You're going to get the same buzz on, and but you enjoyed it the whole way through.
And you're not going to be puking and, you know, getting all sick because you've drank 5 cubic liters of beer, you know.
I know.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I like getting down, you know.
Oh yeah, in the summer it's nice to like kick back with some crap beer and beer and you know, just know that you get to have 4 of them, you're going to be okay.
Now here's a question for you. Because usually I am this kind of jerk. Or maybe I just hang out with, like, my type of jerks now.
Yeah, you kind of
where do. Where you go to like, a barbecue or something, and you bring your own, like, you bring your own six-pack of something nice.
Right.
It's like, these are my beers. Don't touch those beers. No. I'll put them in the fridge in your house.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want anybody mistakenly grabbing one, taking 3 sips off of it, and then pouring it out in the yard, you know? I've been trying really hard lately to not bring beer places because, unless it's like with my craft fellas, you know, if it's people I know are going to appreciate it, I don't bring it, you know, and I'll sit there and I'll drink Keystone or whatever they got on their homemade kegerator, you know, but that's country living for you.
Right. And you don't want to be labeled a snob bringing the nicer beer than what they had to offer. And at the same time, like, why? Yes, I want to convert people into craft beer drinkers, but there are just people that will not be converted.
No.
And I don't want to waste my money or my breath on those people.
Or my beer.
Yeah, have fun drinking whatever you want. And that's kind of difficult, too. You want to show up to a party with 12 or 18, 24 beers, and it's... You're looking at $40, you know? You don't want to...
For lower end stuff,
right?
You know? It's like, yeah, I got, you know, and even like I can't even name, like, unless it's on special down at the beverage center, you know, like they had 4 packs of Gubna for $4.99.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And it's like, all right, I'll take 3 flats of that. Thanks. You know, I'm still gonna spend $40 on it, but you know, I don't know. I can't go into that store without spending like $100.
I know every time it's brutal, and I just end up walking around forever.
Yeah.
But that's the nice thing. I used to be able to go into that store. There might be 10 different craft beers I could buy, and you walk out. Now I can't keep up with their selection,
right.
And that's the case with every bottle shop. Now I want to try all these new beers, but I can't anymore. You know. So
yeah.
you try to stick to what you know, and maybe try one new thing here and there.
Yeah.
And,
grab that, you know, the whale that everybody's talking about on the internet, you know, if they have it, you know, heaven forbid, you know, and try to stay clear of the old, you know, things like Bourbon County and stuff like that these days.
It's this is such a collector's game now, too,
right.
Like rushing out and getting these beers that are limited release. It's tough to keep up with. I just want to enjoy my beer. I don't need to be out racing around looking like I'm collecting Pokemon cards out here. I'm trying to find a good beer that I like. If they have it, and great, but I'm not rushing around. I'm not trying to stand in line for hours. I've done that. You know, I've been to a treehouse and stood there for 4 hours to get 5 growlers full of beer. It's great, but how often do you want to stand in the cold for 4 hours Vermont with no cell reception waiting to fill your growler?
It's like, heaven forbid, you fly to Russian River
in
California just to stand in line for beer and then catch a plane back to New York. It's stupid.
Yeah, and then you got to ship it or check it, and what do you...
Yeah.
There's so much crap.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do?
Hey, I'm not complaining. It's a good time to be drinking beer.
It is definitely a good time to be drinking beer. And you know, I don't think we wouldn't have met unless we had the beer bug. So,
yeah, you meet plenty of great people drinking this beer. It brings out a new social atmosphere. People want to talk about it. People want to share and, you know, just talk about good beer. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what would you say is your favorite? Well, your unabashed. If this is here, I'm just drinking this.
Sure. Yeah, I think Oscar Blues Dale's Pale Ale is like the most solid craft beer on the market. It's always perfect. You know exactly what you're getting. A nice hop taste to it. It's almost an IPA, you would say. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect every time. It comes in those cool cans. When it's around, it's the beer I'm drinking. Yeah. It'd probably be the beer that, you know, you just want it. You want to bring it everywhere. You know, yeah. No one's going to hate it, and you know no one's going to stash away 12 of them in their purse because you can get it everywhere. It's the best.
Yeah. Now, did you have a chance to try the Deviant Dale?
Yeah, Deviant Dale is great when it's fresh, and yeah, that's a nice beer. Oscar Blues has always been solid.
Oscar Blues does make some nice stuff, and you know, I'm glad they're finally getting more production.
Excuse me. North Carolina brewery here now. We see it all the time now. Yep. So I'm not complaining. They're one of the first craft breweries to put their beer in cans, and they kind of revolutionized that. They're revolutionizing the crowler system that we're seeing popping up in a ton of bars now.
Yeah, which, crowlers, though, they're amazing. Right. The crowler machines are amazing. You know, not only does it let you keep your beer longer, you know, then for those of you, I don't think we mentioned the crowlers on the show before. A crowler machine is basically it's a growler fill. It's a 32-ounce can that they fill the can with, and then they tamp the top onto it, so it's sealed. Okay, right. It's airtight. So it's just like going to the store and buying a pound of Blue Light,
right?
Except you got 32 ounces of crafty business, whatever you wanted that the bar had, in this can. Now, it doesn't last forever.
Right.
Okay. But it's airtight enough where, you know, you can get some crowler fills and ship them
right.
to your buddies in California or, you know, wherever. And it's still as fresh as it was when it came off the tap. It's, you know, and I'm so glad that there's so many of these local places that are finally, grabbing them up. I think Tab Mallet was the first place that I know of to have one.
In New York State, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know, Prison City has one now.
The Jenny Brewhouse has one.
Stoneyard Brewing Company has one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what Swiftwater's problem is, but, you know.
And these places, the great thing about the crowler, too, is every crowler is brand new. You're not bringing in your moldy, crappy growler
right.
that you had sitting in your basement that you probably didn't wash properly.
Right.
The beer is not affected at all. A lot of these places are purging the can with CO2 before they fill them to keep the carbonation in there. Right. It's a great system.
It's nice, and it's nuts that it's. And I didn't realize for the longest time that Oscar Blues produces those machines.
Right.
They created that design. They created the crowler system. So when if you are a bar or you are a beer connoisseur, if you're a home brewer, like, and they're expensive, but I would think that if you're a home brewer, that is your dream come true.
Yeah, I would think so.
Is to buy one of those and force carb the cans and just do it that way. You know, I don't know if you've ever homebrewed before.
Ian. Yeah, I dabbled with it a little bit when I first got into this.
But bottling beer is a pain in the ass. It's such a nightmare.
Right.
And if you do it wrong, they're fucked.
Yeah.
It's like, that's garbage. Throw that beer out because it's garbage now because I messed up the bottling.
And most people know nowadays that a bottle is just not the best way to store your beer,
right?
With the light pollution and the weird tops and they don't stand up right. Do I lay them down? Do I stand it up? Bottles are just they're being phased out. Yeah. I think a lot of places still do them because you could get the big bottles and that's
like the
cool.
750 mils and things like that.
But I'm gonna go can every time if I can.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? And thank you, Oscar Blues, for making awesome beer. And revolutionizing the way that we drink the beer.
Right.
I mean, revolutionize the way we drink craft beer anyway.
Sure.
Because that was always one of those snobby things, too. It was like, huh, your beer comes in a can.
I know.
You know?
It's funny how that's turned around.
Right. But it's like, you know what? I can shotgun 10-50. I can do a shotgun of Sweet Baby Jesus and not feel too bad about it. You know what I mean?
Dream come true. So I'll ask you the same question. What is your go-to solid always there for you, beer.
My go-to beer, and I've said this before, and I always think it's about to change, and then it never does. Lagunitas Maximus.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
It's a solid IPA. It's limited, generally limited release on the East Coast. When you can get it, it's phenomenal. It's never changed. I have memories of like 6, 7, 8 years ago over at my buddy's house. I was fixing his computer, and he's like, "You want a beer?" And I'm like, "Eh, nah." He's like, "I got craft beer. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "All right, I'll have one." And he handed me one of these. It was at the perfect temperature, and it was amazing. And I've never looked back since. And it's always my security blanket.
Yeah, it's the best beer.
You know, so
it's fantastic. Lagunitas does not screw up many things.
Not many things at all. I can turn down their hairy eyeball. I'm not a big fan of the hairy
eyeball. I don't know that I've ever had it.
It's just because the bottle art creeps me out.
It's a big...
If I'm going to be honest with you, it's like it's a dog. You know, it's a Lagunitas dog with like that... With that like clockwork orange eyelash nonsense going on, it freaks me out, dude. I don't know what it is.
Bottle art's huge. It's a big part of the buying experience.
Absolutely,
it's some weird shit out there. I will say, if I don't mind giving a shout out, those new Rock cans, Rock Brewing here in Rochester.
Oh, they're dope.
They look so clean. They're really nice. They did a fantastic job with them. I think. I love that like clean look. Like Jenny switched all their cans
to the red clean eye.
Yeah,
and it's cream ale.
Looks classy.
Green can that says Jenny on it.
Yeah, if you could class up a Jenny beer, why not?
Yeah.
So I think they did a nice job on those cans. And I mean, there's a ton of places that have great bottle art. We'd spend a whole podcast on that, but it helps.
It does help.
You don't want to be standing there drinking something weird, but
I love Pipeworks. I love Clown Shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I love all these breweries like that have ridiculous bottle art. I got to be able to read the name of the beer, dude.
I know.
You know what I mean?
That's becoming a pain.
That's
too.
Becoming a pain in the butt because you look at some of these beers and some of them are oversimplified.
Well,
that's like Lord Hobo is just like a sticker slapped on a generic can. Whereas you've got, like Clown Shoes,
mm-hmm.
which like their Blakehorn Unidragon is awesome. It's an awesome beer. It's awesome to look at. It's a little hard to discern it between all these other beers that have ridiculous painted, they're literally like canvas paintings, that they've shrunk down to bottle label. And, it's like maybe I'm partial because I was a Magic the Gathering player when I was a kid.
Of course.
But, that's where I'm getting that from.
And you don't want to go the other way either. Like, I think 6 Point kind of screwed this up where now they just put on their can IPA as big as they can.
Right.
Because they want people to know this is an IPA. You should be drinking
this.
They were a can craft beer brewery that started with their cans. They were very simple. They didn't say the style of beer. They just said the name of the beer.
Right.
And the theory behind that was, well, people will talk about it. Yeah, that's a great theory, but I'm not going to talk about it if I don't know what kind of beer I'm drinking. I got to go on freaking Beer Advocate or Untappd just to look at what I'm drinking.
Right. Well, then it's funny you bring up 6 Point because 6 Point, if you look at their high-res can over the last 4 or 5 years, it's gotten busier and busier and busier. It's still pretty much exactly the same can art,
right?
But there's just little blurbs, new little blocks full of words all over the thing. And it's like... I know what it just says high res with the logo. That's fine. I know what that is. I don't need a long story about how, you had an alpaca, in the Andes with the, Peruvian, monkeys getting the hops off the mountaintops because you can't breathe up there. I don't need any of that nonsense.
Not to keep bashing 6 Point, but that jammer they came out with last year, the Goza, was just so underwhelming. It was so disappointing because I actually did love the can. I thought it looked awesome. It looked really summery and fresh. But, man, that was not a Goza. It was very boring. And I know they made a new batch after that was trying to ramp things up a bit, and it's still pretty underwhelming. I like Six Point. They make some really nice beers. There's Sweet Action, that Cream Ale, Pale Ale hybrid. That beer is awesome. But they missed the spot on that Goza, the Jammer.
Yeah, definitely. I had one last thing I got to talk about here before we take off. There it is. I did want to do a real quick shout out to the Low Bridge High Water Party coming down here to Brockport, New York on May the 5th,
13th,
the 13th, May the 13th. We will be getting it on down here. It's the official canal opening for Brockport, New York. But Stoneyard Brewing Company has been tasked with putting together a humongous craft beer party going on from 5 p.m., I believe it is. I can't find the thing right now. But tickets are available now. You'll see advertisements all over my Facebook page and the show's page and all that good stuff. Some of the highlights so far, Single Cut is going to be there, ladies and gentlemen. Prison City will be pouring beers. Stoneyard will have a bunch of their own samplings. Kevin McCann's Local Meats is catering the joint. Okay, there's going to be live music and all sorts of good times. You come down, it's a one-time fee. I think it's $20 in advance, $25 at the door. It would be stupid for you not to be there.
It's incredible. So, last year, it's going to be double the size this year, if not more.
Yep.
Go to this event. It's so worth it.
It'll be definitely worth it. So May 13th. Why do I keep saying the 15th? May 13th.
Make sure you get a ride home from your mother.
Yes, or find Ian Penders in the crowd and get a card. I did also want to give a shout-out to ROCPodcast.com, Rochester's first and original podcast network, ladies and gentlemen. You can get this show. You can get my other show. The Lost Cosmonauts. You can catch episodes of the Monday Medicine Show by Under the Skin TV. You can catch the Rochester Show, Vinnie Paulino's show on that channel. There's all sorts of great stuff. We have a couple radio plays going on right now. Check it out. It's ROCPodcast.com. You will not be disappointed. I guess with that, I don't really have much else to cover this week, Ian. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night. We got some beer to finish.
Cheers.
And hopefully we can get on down to the bar and maybe have a couple more ponies. But thank you very much for joining me this week, Ian.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ian Penders, attorney at law. And this has been Brutality. I'm Fred Porter. Have a week.
Start the jam. I'm bringing words together like an ampersand.
Word, bird.
About to make your goddamn pampers damp. Slamming amps off the ramp, getting a tam tam. Classier than your tramp stamp ant in a Trans Am. Call Bram Van. This shit is 3000. A habitat for humanity.
Free housing.
Help people move. Thanks for giving a listening everywhere you go. Like pigeons at Islington. Different. Never try to play shock rappers like seeing Vinny Paz at a pride parade. My time of day is every time a rhyme is sprayed, and I'm good without the shine, like a diamond in the shade. Whether your fave Slaughterhouse is Ace or Kurt Vonnegut, if you make a mixtape, make sure you got a Berg song on it. A hominid who likes his PlayStation modded it. Style self-taught, and I let myself audit it.
Aw, shit, this ain't a ham and cheese, it's croque monsieur. Promoting coke coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter. Lyrical croc is here, making your plot thicker. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter.
Airway, nothing but sandwich. Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without the word.
Burger lock. Cause y'all starving, I'm living
extra margin. Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without.
And I keep warming up like someone had just bought me a sweater. Cause good things take time like a watch repossessor. Never leave you hanging, count on your boogie. For more lines than a sale at Burberry. Subverting, can I get a five like Laurier? Cause being boring is so cliched, I'll behave. I stay on the mound like Halliday. And when I see an alien, I say Salome. From
salad days to all-you-can-eat luncheons. Get attention like F-bombs at family functions. Curmudgeons wondering, what the hell is he doing? Who's your target demographic? Humans. Whether you're consuming macaroons out in Saskatoon or back in Halley cracking brews in the afternoon, if someone says that they're better than you, they're just a fraud like a vegan wearing leather at a zoo. Aw, shit, this ain't a ham and cheese, it's croque monsieur. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter. Lyrical croque monsieur, making your plot thicker. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, shop liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without the word. Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without the word. Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without the word. Burger lob.